sexual relationship in front of his companions. The physician turned at the pronouncement and grabbed the man by the jacket lapels, pulling him close. The lovers kissed hard, then broke apart fast as another spear came out of the tunnel, sliding along the rough ground. Notching the final arrow, Mildred placed the loaded crossbow on the bridge for anybody to grab, and she drew her checkmate 38 caliber ZKR target pistol. She was going to make those three rounds last for as long as possible. Just then, a screaming warrior dived over the torches and rolled along the ground undamaged. She warbled a cry, and more jumped through the flames successfully. Going to one knee, Doc leveled his blaster, holding the cannon with both hands.
Wait.
Inside the passage, the armored runts gathered into a group, seemingly having to gather their courage before attacking. But soon they were frothing at the mouth and bellowing a challenge. The muties swarmed toward the norms.
Now.
Doc took in a breath, held it, and fired. The muzzle blast illuminated the darkness to daylight. The leader spun, arms outstretched, throwing blood across the others. The runts howled and covered their faces, dropping weapons and stumbling in the gloom. A couple bumped into each other, then walked straight off the bridge and plummeted out of sight. Doc fired again, the second blast scoring two kills. Then JB threw the last Molotov, the liquid fire splashing over a group of warriors carrying a basket. Screaming in agony, the creatures dropped the basket and started to beat at their burning bodies with empty hands. Holding the crossbow, Jack waited for an undamaged target when harsh blue light came from the basket, along with a sputtering and hissing noise.
Retreat!
Ryan began walking dangerously backward until he was flat against the rock wall. The muties had a bomb or dynamite in there, maybe leftovers from the pre-dark mining.
Cover your ears!
The companions slapped palms over their ears as protection from the concussion, just as the wicker basket erupted in a tremendous explosion. The entire cavern seemed to shake as stalactites rained from the ceiling. Then the granite bridge cracked, large pieces dropping off. The companions clawed at the sheer wall for any purchase when the rock shattered, the painted plaster falling away in pieces to expose a hidden tunnel. Without hesitation, Ryan and the others swarmed into the new opening just as the shuddering granite bridge broke completely apart and fell into the inky blackness. The dining hall of the fortress at Front Royal was brightly lit by 100 thick candles and 2 roaring fireplaces. Servants carried in platters of food, serving the dirty sekmen and grimy civilians, hastily gobbling down the food on their plates. At the head of the table sat Baron Nathan Cawder. His clothes were patched but clean, and blasters rode at each hip. A monstrously huge 50-caliber Desert Eagle pistol rested in a position of honor in a shoulder holster. The weapon had been pried from the cold gray hand of Overton, would-be Baron of Front Royal, as he lay sprawled in the mud. Nathan watched his troops consume the repast, like muties at a fresh corpse. Thankfully, the hunters had done well, better than anyone had hoped for, and the Ville had venison and bear meat by the ton in the smokehouses, slowly being cured for the coming winter months. The repairs to Front Royal were almost complete. Nathan had taken a great risk using sick men and civilians together on the task of rebuilding the keep and the barbican at the front gate, but the gamble had paid off. There had been no attacks by muties or coldhearts while his troops were busy with the construction and too tired to fight. Give the men a few days and the Ville would be able to properly defend itself again. That's all. Just a few more days.
Anybody need a beer?
Nathan hoisted a tankard of bathtub ale. It was slightly green, but eminently drinkable.
Down here, my lord.
A stonemason waved a hand wrapped in rags in lieu of a glove. Nathan rose from his chair with the tankard in a fist, and the sekmen and civilians roared their disapproval. Even the servants looked askance. The stonemason gasped, rising to block the man.
My lord, this isn't allowed. A baron serving the troops?
Nathan stared hard at the man.
I'm the baron, and shall do as I please. When my workers are exhausted, I do what is needed.
Which is why we would die for you, my lord. Any man of us, and happy to do so. But we'll never let you do such a thing as this.
The others murmured in agreement.
The day you serve us food is the day we revolt.
Nathan slammed the tankard on the table, rattling dishes for yards. The Cotter temper was as famous as it was deadly.
Those are hanging words, Corporal.
The man remained adamant and shrugged.
Then hang me, Baron. But I'll be rad-blasted before my Baron brings me a drink.
A woman entered the hall, carrying a wooden tray of beer mugs.
And what about the lady?
Lady Tabitha Cotter wore her long hair free, the tresses almost reaching to her trim waist. She was in a loose gown of royal brown, heavy pants peeking out from below the pleated skirt. Boots and belt were without polish, and an M16 long blaster was slung over her shoulder. Her hands were heavily scarred, as was one cheek. She moved stiffly, but with her head held high, as befitting the wife of the local baron. Clumsily, she moved to the table and placed down the tray with some difficulty. The men dared not speak. They knew the torture she had gone through and considered her more than a lady. The officers bowed.
My lady, we are honored by your presence here.
She laughed and wiped her forehead.
Thirsty too, I hope. Drink your fill. This is a day of celebration. The barbican is complete. The chief just rammed it with a wag at top speed and the gate held. The repairs are finished.
The whole room roared its approval, and a servant took the tray, passing out the beer to eager hands.
To the Baron!
The workers thundered the name Cotter over and over.
And to the good health of our new heir! 5 pounds gone to 200! Young Alexander Cotter!
The assemblage lifted their mugs high and drank in silence.
Praise be! May he follow his good father, and not his triple-damned, muty-loving Uncle Harvey.
The workers and soldiers paused, glancing nervously at the Baron. Nathan said nothing, then slowly stood and spat on the floor.
To hell with Harvey!
He brandished a mug, and the hall erupted with cheers. Reclaiming his chair, Nathan drank from the mug and placed it aside.
How are you feeling, my love?
The nearby workers pretended they could hear nothing. Weakly, Tabitha smiled.
I'll live, and our son grows stronger every minute. I had to find him a second wet nurse to feed that outrageous Cotter appetite. But that wasn't a problem, since so many children had been lost in the war.
Nathan placed his hand on top of hers, and gently gave a squeeze.
We're lucky our son lived. Which is why I assigned the two of you 20 guards. The vill means nothing if you aren't safe.
Hands under the table, Tabitha pursed her pale lips.
Do you really think such extravagant precautions are necessary? Sullivan has been burned. Overton is dead. Who would dare to attack the heir of Front Royal now?
Too many.
He leaned back in his chair. The more prosperous the vill became, the more Coldhearts attacked, and Mercies raided the outer hamlets. The M16s from their own armory and the AK-47 blasters taken from the Blues were handling the problem easily, but the ammo was getting low quickly, and they had no way of reloading the 7.62mm rounds. A gunsmith tried using black powder instead of cordite, and the weapon nearly exploded into pieces. Doc Tanner had told them the secret of turning black powder into gunpowder, but that mix of chems was even more powerful. Something purely for cannons, once the blacksmiths finished making them. If ever.
Any word from Ryan or the others?
None. Is that bad?
Neither good nor bad. My uncle could survive Skydark itself.
He poured more beer in the mug. Death wasn't a topic for such a day. The corpses were buried. It was time for the living to forget. He changed the subject.
And how does the weather look?
Clear. No sign of a storm. Sorry.
Shitfire.
He reached into his jacket for a pre-dark steel tube. He fondled it for a second, then opened the container and handed a fat cigar to the nearest man.
Pass this down to Dundee. I bet him there would be acid rain by the end of this week, but he said no. As always, he was correct.
You wanted rain, my lord?
Tolerantly, Nathan smiled.
You're new here, yes? Thought so. Front Royal needs the acid rain to make sulfur for our black powder. It's why we have gutters and sewers. Every deadly drop becomes powder in our blasters.
D- Damn me for a mutiny.
The farmer chuckled and passed the cigar to the next Sekhman down. The pre-dark stogie made it to the old man with only a dozen sniffs taken of the aged tobacco. Dundee tucked it away in a shirt pocket.